All right, let's be honest for a second.
Okay.
One of the things that really keeps law students up at night, right?
Yeah.
It's this whole idea of the press, you know, doing its job, getting information out there. But also, like,
right.
What about when that information hurts someone? What about, like, allegations and, you know, the harm that can come from that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we are diving into a case today that really gets at the heart of that.
Okay.
Medico v. Time, Inc.
Big one.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it all boils down to this thing called the fair report privilege.
Right.
And honestly, it gets even more interesting when you bring in the whole idea of confidential government documents.
Right.
Like, where does the line get drawn?
That's exactly it. I mean, a medico is not just some, you know, theoretical thing in a textbook.
Right.
This case has actually shaped how media outlets, how journalists can report on really sensitive information.
Yeah.
And knowing this stuff, it's not just trivia.
Yeah.
It is absolutely crucial if you're going into law, especially anything related to media.
So we're going to break it all down.
Yeah. We're going to unpack how this fair report privilege actually works.
Okay.
Especially when you've got these, you know, non-public FBI files like in the mix.
Right.
And why this whole case still matters so much today, right?
Absolutely.
And to do this deep dive, we've got some awesome resources.
Okay, cool.
It's like we're looking at this case from multiple angles.
Uh-huh.
So we have some podcast guidance to kind of like set the stage.
Okay.
We have a perplexity analysis that really breaks down the arguments, the court's decision, all the nitty-gritty details.
Nice.
And then we've got a standard legal brief on the case just to give that overall picture.
Great.
So with all of that, I think we're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go back to the beginning, 1978. Time magazine publishes this article.
Uh-huh.
What's the article about and what's it based on?
So the Time article, it came out in March of 78.
Yeah.
And the focus is on this congressman, Daniel J. Flood.
Okay.
And there were all these suspicions about him having ties to organized crime.
Okay. So right away, like sensitive stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really interesting for us for this discussion, right?
Yeah.
Because the article specifically names Philip T. Medico.
Yeah.
And it goes as far as to call him a member of Russell Bufalino's mafia family.
Wow.
And they even use the term capo, which if you know anything about that world,
yeah,
that implies a leadership role.
So not just like he knows some guys.
No, not at all.
They're putting him like up high.
Yeah, serious accusations.
Serious. To be in Time magazine nationwide.
Exactly.
So where are they getting this information? What's Time saying?
Well, the article itself says that all of this is coming from confidential FBI documents.
Oh, wow.
That they got their hands on somehow.
Interesting.
Yeah, our sources don't really go into how they got them.
Okay.
But the main point, the thing for us to focus on, is that these were not public records.
Right.
These were internal, you know, FBI investigative files, part of their inquiry into Congressman Flood.
So imagine you're Philip Medico.
Yeah.
You open Time magazine and it says you're a mafia capo.
Right.
Based on these secret FBI files.
Not good.
So what does he do?
Well, as you might expect, he's not happy about this.
Right.
So he sues Time for defamation in federal district court.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And initially, Time's strategy is to say, hey, what we said is true.
Okay.
But then they kind of shift gears.
Yeah.
And they start arguing, well, even if what we said could be considered defamatory,
yeah,
it's actually protected under this thing called Pennsylvania's fair report privilege.
So this fair report privilege,
yeah,
this is clearly like the crux of the whole thing.
It's the central issue, yeah.
Okay, so for our listeners, law students who might be hearing this for the first time,
uh-huh,
can you give us the like the overview, the elevator pitch? What is this privilege all about?
All right, so in a nutshell, the fair report privilege, and you'll find this articulated in Section 611 of the Restatement of Torts, and Pennsylvania law recognizes it. It basically shields the press, gives them some protection from being sued for defamation when they report on official actions or proceedings, as long as they're being fair and accurate.
Okay.
The whole idea is to make sure the public knows what's going on with their government,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Even if that information might include stuff that could hurt someone's reputation.
So it's like, we want the public to know what's going on.
Yes.
And we don't want to punish the messenger for just delivering the message.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
But, you know, in my head, and maybe I'm wrong, I always thought this privilege was more for like open court stuff,
mm-hmm,
public hearings, trials, things that are already out in the open, public record, right?
Yeah.
But in Medico, we're talking about secret FBI files, right?
That's the wrinkle. Yeah.
So is the court kind of like going into new territory here.
Exactly. That's the big question in Medi-Co. Yep. Can this privilege that usually covers public stuff, can it stretch to cover these confidential, non-public government reports like these FBI files?
Okay.
And then the other thing that's really interesting is, does it even matter how the press got those documents?
Right.
As long as their reporting is fair and accurate.
Huge question.
Yeah.
So the court has to decide, like, do the reasons for protecting open government reporting, do they also apply to these secret documents?
Right.
So what happens? What do they decide?
Well, the court ends up siding with Time.
Oh, wow.
They say, yes, the fair report privilege does include these fair and accurate summaries of confidential government reports.
Okay.
And here's the big one.
Yeah.
How the press got those documents doesn't automatically disqualify them.
Really?
Yeah, as long as the reporting itself is fair and accurate.
So that's a big win for, like, journalists.
Oh, yeah. This is expanding the privilege quite a bit.
So what was the court's reasoning? Like, what were their big arguments?
Okay, so there are a couple of key things, especially in Judge Adams's opinion.
Yeah.
First, they say that these FBI reports, even if they're not, you know, out in public, they're still official government documents created by FBI agents doing their jobs.
Right. So it's like an extension of the government.
Exactly. They're representing government authority.
Okay.
And then second, they really emphasize how important it is for the public to know about organized crime.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially when you have elected officials like Congressman Flood potentially mixed up in it.
You're telling me.
The public needs to know that stuff.
Yeah.
So the court's basically saying, look, letting the press report on these investigations, even if they're not public yet, that helps keep the government in check.
It's the checks and balances thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Judge Adams even lays out these three, what he calls policy pillars, to support this whole idea.
Okay. What are those?
All right. So pillar number one is the idea of the press being the public's eyes and ears.
I like that.
Reporting on stuff that every day people wouldn't be able to see themselves.
Look at those FBI files. You can't just walk in and be like, can I see that?
Nope. Yeah.
Pillar number two is all about oversight and accountability.
Okay.
You know, making sure the government's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Right.
So allowing the press to report on these investigations, even while they're still going on, not public yet, that encourages scrutiny.
It keeps them honest.
Exactly. And then the third pillar is just straight up public interest.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things that the public just needs to know about.
Right.
Organized crime, corruption, especially at high levels of government, those are huge deals.
Absolutely.
So the court is saying those three things together, they really justify letting the press report on this kind of information.
So to be crystal clear, the court was not saying that Medi-Co actually was a mafia capo, right?
Right.
They were saying that Time had the right to say that the FBI believed he was.
Based on their documents. As long as Time reported on that fairly and accurately.
That's the key.
Yeah, that seems like a really, really important distinction.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's really crucial for our listeners to grasp that.
Yeah.
Because the court was very clear.
Yeah.
The privilege protects reporting on what's in those official reports.
Right.
Not necessarily whether the stuff in those reports is actually true.
Like, they're reporting on the report.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Time didn't have to prove Medi-Co was actually in the mafia.
Right.
They just had to show they were reporting what the FBI said about him.
And they had to do it fairly?
Fairly and accurately.
Okay, so then, thinking bigger picture, what does this whole ruling mean for media law in general?
Well, it was a pretty big deal in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It definitely strengthened press freedom there.
How so?
Because now this fair report privilege covers even these non-public government documents.
So it broadened the scope.
Exactly. It basically gives journalists more freedom to report on these investigations, even if the information hasn't officially been made public.
Hmm. Interesting.
And it sets this precedent that how the press gets these documents, it's not the deciding factor.
As long as they're fair and accurate.
Right.
Okay, so for someone listening thinking, okay, I want to be a journalist, or I want to work with media law.
Yeah.
What are the big takeaways from Medi-Co v. Time?
All right. So a few key things to remember. First, anytime you have a potential defamation case involving the press.
Yeah.
The first question is, was that statement that supposedly defamatory one?
Right.
Was it based on something official? A report, a proceeding, something like that.
Okay, so find the source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second, did the reporting actually summarize that official source fairly and accurately?
So it's not enough to have the source. You have to be doing it the right way.
You got it.
Okay.
And third, is there any reason to think the whole point of the publication was to hurt the person they're writing about?
Okay, so like malicious intent.
Yeah, because that can definitely come into play.
Okay, so motive matters.
It does. All right. And Medico shows us that this fair report privilege can be a really strong defense in these lawsuits.
Yeah.
Even when you're dealing with sensitive information, stuff that's not public.
So to wrap up our deep dive today.
Okay.
Medico v. Time. This was a landmark case.
Absolutely.
It really changed things for media law in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It expanded that fair report privilege to include those confidential government documents.
Right. Like the FBI files in this case.
And it's so important to remember, like we've been saying, it's not about whether the allegations in those documents were true.
Right.
It's about whether the reporting was accurate about what the documents said.
Exactly.
Big difference.
Huge difference.
So to sum it up, Judge Adams gave us those three policy reasons.
Right.
Presses the eyes and ears.
Yes.
Keeping the government accountable.
Uh-huh.
Public interest in big issues like organized crime.
Yes.
All of that together
made
them say, yep, the press can report on this stuff.
As long as they do it responsibly.
Responsibly, fairly, accurately.
Right.
So here's something to think about as we finish up.
Okay.
Given this whole ruling in Medico,
how
should courts handle this tension?
What tension?
Between the public's right to know about these potential investigations.
Right, even if the information's not proven.
Exactly, versus the individual's right to protect their reputation.
Yeah, when those accusations might not even be true.
Tough one, right?
Very tough.
It's this constant balancing act.
It is.
And Medico v. Time is a really good example of how tricky, but also how important, this whole debate is about press freedom and the responsibilities that come with it.
I think that's a great place to leave it.
Yeah, lots to think about.
Absolutely.